Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Caroline, for leading us. In my own cancer journeys, one of the things I've had to learn is that I have to walk by faith and not by sight. There's things going on that you can't see. You may not even be able to feel it. And yet, there are things that are out of your control. And so I've had nothing but this left to me than to trust the Lord. And I wish I could say that that was easy, that it came easy. It doesn't. And yet, still, the Lord is faithful. I promise you, I plan to finish 1 Peter. I was talking to my friend Alex, and he said, Adam, 1 Peter is still going to be there. Still going to be there. It's not going to turn into 3 Peter. So as I was working on the end of 1 Peter on Thursday, which is the day I write my sermons, I was working on it and I said, this just doesn't feel right. And then I realized this actually fits better in August for our mission and vision. And so I'm going to return to our series that we've been in, which is Questions from God. And I got some feedback from Lydia, so if you don't like this sermon topic, you can blame her. Yeah, I gave her a couple options of things that I was thinking and feeling, and this one's on prayer and the encouragement to pray, to persevere in our prayers. This is Luke 11, chapter 5, 13 through 5 through 13, excuse me. And these are these words come right after the Lord's Prayer. So would you read along with me in the bulletin, and you'll see there. At the end of it, though, there's a corporate response, and I'm going to read God's word for us. And this is Jesus speaking. And he said to them, which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are in bed with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impotence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be together in your house. We know we're not all together as we would like to be. Various circumstances take our people away. And yet, Lord, we have gathered to hear your word, and we pray then that you would use it for our good, that you would continue your work within us. Lord, we need your encouragement. We need your help. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On Monday night, we were asked, the elders, to go to the home of one of our families so that we could anoint one of our members with oil, following what James chapter 5 encourages, that when those are sick, to call upon the elders to have the oil and the prayer. Now, I want to be clear. This is what I said then, and I'll say it now. When we anoint someone with oil, we're not doing anything magic. We're not healing. We are calling upon God, and we are representing his presence by that oil. But there's no magic there, and we're not saying that it's in place of medicine and doctors and those things, which are all extremely important. And yet there is that call to prayer, and we heeded it. And I will say that some of my prayers recently have maybe been a little more desperate. I don't know if I've been praying more. I don't necessarily want to say that. Maybe I have. but they felt a little bit desperate. And I keep coming up with this line, parts of it in my prayers as I'm praying, Lord, don't give us a rock. If I ask for bread, don't give me a stone. That's what Matthew says, Jesus teaching, or which of one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone. Very similar to this passage in Luke. And that's worked its way, that language has worked its way into my prayers. And yet I also recognize I'm not in a position or place where I get to decide what a rock or a stone or bread may be in a given circumstance. And so what happens now? I keep praying. I keep praying. Do I quit when all I can muster is a quivering mess of one or two words? Why? How long? What in the world is going on? I don't understand. I was talking to a close relative this week, and that person asked me, does God listen to us when we keep praying the same prayers? Or has he had enough? That wasn't their words, but it was mostly like, you know, after the fifth or the tenth or the 15th time of praying the same thing, is God like, yo, I got it? My answer was that if God is infinite and eternal, which he is, then we can never tell him too much. We can never pray the same prayer too many times. If all we have is help, then that is a prayer. Or why? Or whatever else that comes to our hearts and minds in various moments that we face. So my encouragement to that relative was, keep praying. Keep knocking on that door. I cannot guarantee what the answer will be. I cannot guarantee what will come about, but I can tell you that God delights to hear from his children. Don't stop praying. And that's what I want to encourage you today. Don't stop praying. The context of these verses come right after the Lord's Prayer, or a version of it, in the Gospel of Luke. And it tells us what we should pray. It gives us a model for our prayers. Now we're going to receive the how and the why of prayer. And Jesus asks lots of questions, doesn't he? He asks, who do you say that I am? To urge the disciples to a place of a confession of faith. He also asked them, where is your faith? In the midst of a trial. So that they would lock their eyes on him, the Savior, despite the storms. He asked those who would question him, which is easier to say, that your sins are forgiven or pick up your mat and walk? And you know what? Jesus did both. Because he was able, and he proved and showed his authority over our sin and our lives, and we need that. And so here's another question, or set of questions, that Jesus asked. These are rhetorical. These are meant to lead us and teach us. He gives the question, but he also provides the answer. That is wonderful. Sometimes we have the questions, and we don't necessarily get the answers right away. But what a gracious thing that God does in giving us both here. And so here is my question for you, which is my theme. And I was even asked last night. It was a good test by our young church member who's about to depart to go to another place so that she can receive the treatment she needs. She asked me at dinner last night, what's your theme? How precious is that? A 10-year-old who knows my preaching well enough to know that there's going to be a theme, and I'm going to say it, and here it is. What encouragement does Jesus give us to help us persevere in prayer? And so there's two things I want to show you in this passage that we should pray with the persistence of those who have a great need and with the perspective of those who have a great relationship. So let's start with the great need. And let's be honest, At least I'll be honest, I'm allergic to all sorts of things. Spring comes about, I take my Zyrtec, I take it all the time. Spring and fall, things bloom and all that, and I need the help, right? But I'm allergic, if I admit it, to my neediness. And I don't like to admit that I'm needy, that I'm not enough for myself, that I need outside help from a whole host of people. Not just doctors, but yes, them as well. But all kinds of people. But I'd rather not admit that. And yet the Lord's Prayer teaches you that you have needs. You have needs for relationship and provision and protection. And the Lord provides that for us. He forgives us. He protects us. He leads us. And Jesus is going to teach the disciples now using a parable. It starts with a form in the form of various questions that he asked there. This parable is sometimes called the friend at midnight. It's an extended question. He's asking the disciples to imagine a scenario, a scene, where someone shows up at your door in the middle of the night, and he's asking for bread. He's asking for 3 loaves. Have you ever asked your neighbor for help? Maybe to borrow a tool or, you know, I can't carry this thing on my own. You probably have done that. You've maybe been asked and you will joyfully help. But I assure you, if that knock comes at midnight, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen in my house. 3 dogs are going to go ballistic, right? And then I'm going to be going, what's going on, right? We're that's a problem, isn't it? And we need help, and we may not like it, and we ask for help, and that's the nature of community. That's the nature of our natural limitations. But sometimes our needs don't always align with great timing. And so, again, this is what this parable tells, this story. It's nighttime, and it's set in the Middle Eastern culture where hospitality is everything. And it's still true today in parts of the Middle East, I would say. I'm not an expert by any means, but there's a high value on showing hospitality to friends, but also to strangers. And so this friend has had a visitor show up late. Maybe he got delayed. His camel broke down. And he's getting there late, and now they're hungry. And he needs 3 loaves. Well, there's some problems here. Not just the need for hospitality, but the problem is there likely is no bread. At least for most. That's what's happened with the friend or the person who's received the traveler. He doesn't have anything because you would make your daily bread. And usually at the end of the day, that bread was gone. Now, some people had the ability to make extra. And that's the friend you'd want, right? That's the neighbor you'd want to know and make sure you treated them kindly. Howdy, neighbor. So that when this sort of occasion comes about, you're able to call upon them. But you couldn't go down to Walmart. The Publix has been destroyed. There's no convenience stores, right? You just can't go to the store and get bread. So you've got to go to this person's house. But it's also a problem that it is the middle of the night, and you're thinking in your mind about your house and what would happen if the doorbell rung at midnight. Now, condense your home. I don't know all of your homes, but condense your home to 1, maybe 2 rooms. That's where you all slept. Everybody. And that's what you heard there, that the answer is, hey, I don't want to wake up my family. I don't want to wake up my children. Those of you who have young children, you know how precious it is when you finally get to that place where the children are asleep. You do not want anything to disturb that. We had a rule in seminary because we were one of the few families that had cable during the fall so that we could watch college football because we are from the South. And so everybody would come to our house to watch the various games. But we had a rule that if you woke Ethan up with your shouting, you're moaning, you're groaning, you were responsible for the baby. Now, see, you know how precious it is, right? So picture that scenario. All that's going on, one big family in one room, maybe two, the knock on the door, I need some bread. You may or may not have it. What in the world is going on? And Jesus presents the answer for us. It's presented as a question driving towards an answer, an interpretation. And the answer that is expected by the question is in the negative. Look at verse 8. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend. Yet because of his impotence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Jesus is saying here that even if he wouldn't help because of the friend, the relationship, and certainly someone might help on that basis, he will do so if the man is going to keep on knocking. Not only might he wake the whole household, he might wake the neighborhood, and then the neighborhood knows that you have violated the requirements of hospitality. Impotence, not a word I use every day, maybe you don't use every day, translated here in the ESV, is the quality of being offensively bold, maybe translated as persistence, boldness, shamelessness in various translations. And so here's the encouragement that comes from the answer. And it comes even further from verses 9 and 10. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. In verse 10. And then the same thing before that. Does this mean that God will give whatever we ask for? Well, if you've been around long enough, if you've prayed enough, you know the answer to that is no. Because it would be horrible for God to do so if it's not what is best for us. And the difficulty I have is I cannot see the world around me, nor myself and my needs, with absolute clarity. I have insight, I learn, I grow, I mature. That is true. But I cannot see the world. I don't know the future. I don't know what tomorrow brings. I have my plans, and then they get blown up sometimes. You had that experience? You made your plan to say, this is what I'm going to do this week. You write it out on your journal, your planner, and then you get that phone call. Or you start feeling something. Or whatever it may be. We experience that. And so I need a God that is larger than my desires. Larger than my needs. Larger than what I think I need in the moment. Because I'll be honest, I will probably get it wrong more than I would get it right. Even though I'm learning and growing. And so I pray, and I keep praying, I keep knocking. Because that's what the Lord has encouraged me to do. All the while trusting in who He is. We cannot expect that God will answer prayers that are contrary to His will. That's important for us to remember. We cannot expect God to bless what He has forbidden. And we also need to recognize that sometimes His answer is no. And sometimes His answer to our prayers is wait. But the encouragement is to pray and pray again and keep praying. Pray some more. This is what you do when you are aware that you have a great need. You go to the source of help. And this is a challenge to our faithlessness that oftentimes, sometimes, I'm not speaking for you, I'm just speaking, is sometimes we don't believe. We don't really believe that God will do what He says He will do, or that He can do what we need Him to do. And so we struggle in our prayers because of our faithlessness. We also struggle in our prayers because of our feebleness. We are sinful. We are limited. You do fall asleep sometimes in the middle of your prayers and wonder, is that okay? And let me assure you, there's no better place to fall asleep than in the arms of the one who loves you. And yet we are feeble. We are weak. We do sin. And so we need to keep praying. Even in the midst of that, we easily become discouraged and distracted and quit praying. We're too busy scrounging at the bottom of the cupboard looking for a crumb instead of going to the one who provides us our daily bread. And then we feel guilty. We feel guilty because we don't pray enough. And then we don't pray because we're guilty. And it just becomes a cycle. And so we need to be roused out of this. And I'm not in preaching this trying to add to your guilt, but relieve it. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Keep praying. Keep knocking on that door. Keep asking. God will come to your rescue. He will come with what is needed in the right time, the right place, with the right need. And so, remember, and as Jesus is asking or giving you this parable and encouraging you, we're not asking a friend or a neighbor, are we? Yes, God is a friend to sinners. I don't mean to say that. But you are asking the Lord of all things. That's whose door you're knocking on. And he's not hindered by our needs. I love what William Hendrickson says. He says, the lesson this parable teaches is so powerful and striking because God is never, with God, it is never midnight. You hear that? With God, it is never midnight. He never lacks anything. He is never bothered when any humble child approaches him. And he is never taken by surprise. So pray with the persistence of those who have a great need. But also pray with the perspective of those who have a great relationship. And once again, there's another question and an encouragement. This is giving us the why of prayer now. It's even more outlandish. A father is presented. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or verse 12, if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Now, a couple weeks ago, our daughter called us and she said, I need a tow truck. Yeah, not what you want to hear at 10:30 at night as she was coming home right before she moved out into an apartment. And in my mind, I'm thinking, nah, you know what? I can fix this. I can put a spare tire on. Let me tell you, when I got there, we needed a tow truck. Now, what I didn't do when she called is say, good luck. Figure it out. You got yourself into this mess, you're going to get yourself out. That was not my reaction, was it? My reaction was to get down there as quickly as possible, to wrap my arms around my daughter and praise the Lord that though her car was totaled, and I do not thank the Lord for that, I'm not happy about that, but she was uninjured. And cars and things can be replaced. But we got down there, both Lydia and I, as quickly as we could and did everything that we could to help in that situation. So you see, what Jesus is asking or saying is, it's a preposterous notion. Yes, I know, dads, we have our dad jokes, right? Dad, I'm hungry. Hi, I'm Adam. Right? You have your dad jokes, your responses, but we really, fathers, if you're a father in the room, and I know some people, maybe in this room, have experienced as well, not every father is a good father. And there is evil in this world. But many of us have experienced the blessing of wonderful fathers in our lives. And so this is the picture, right? So don't take the exception or the experience to let it outweigh the rule that Jesus is giving you and saying, even sinful men, sinful fathers, will move heaven and earth for their children at times, won't they? In what world would a father respond not just with a no to the need of their child, but with the cruelty? You're asking for food, and I'm going to give you a serpent. I don't know about you, but I hate snakes. And has anybody been stung by a scorpion? I have. Camp Woodmont, fifth grade. It was awful, right? What father is going to give a scorpion when they ask for an egg? That's what Jesus is saying. It's preposterous. And so just the thought of Jesus asking what would seem impossible to imagine helps us to remember that we have a great relationship with the Heavenly Father, which Jesus has just taught that you can pray to. You can say, "Our Father in heaven, you are so far beyond us, hallowed be your name." And yet you pray what? For give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation, right? You pray those things. And so this absurdity becomes the encouragement. This is how we are to feel and to respond to this question, which then prepares us for something much better. The encouragement of the perspective of the great relationship that the Christian has with God the Father. Look at verse 13. "If you then, who are evil, fathers among us, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" If you follow the Christian calendar, today is the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit descending upon his people. The gift of God's presence with his people always. No matter where you are, no matter what you face, no matter what you experience, God is with you. So when you pray in light of that. Jesus is going from the lesser to the greater. If it's true of this, of, you know, good men, good fathers, though they are sinful, then how much more will it be true of your Heavenly Father? You can't get closer in a relationship than this. And so you pray with the perspective of this great relationship. And yet I fail to pray, not just because I'm faithless and feeble, but also because I'm fearful and I'm forgetful. We're fearful, which reveals that I'm afraid sometimes God doesn't care about me. And yet 1 Thessalonians 5:7 says he does. Or I'm afraid that I won't pray the right way. You know, if you watch Jeopardy and you give the answer and you don't get it just right, say it with the right pronunciation. Alex Trebek, you know, used to, he'd be like, "Ha ha, I'm sorry. Yeah, you got that wrong." Right? And we feel that and we go, "Do I have to get my words just right for God to be able to hear me? Do I got to rub the magic genie bottle just the right way for him to appear?" But prayer doesn't work because we get it right. It works because God has ordained it for us. He's given it to us. And so the basis of our prayer is not our fitness or our righteousness. The basis is upon Christ. And guess what? He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I might be fearful of receiving the answer I don't want to hear, but I need to move past my fear. Have you ever, as a child, gone to your parents or had a child come to you and say, "I know you're going to say no, but..." I think that's sometimes how we start our prayers, right? "God, I know you're going to say no, but..." And maybe that's okay, because at least we're in the room, right? At least we're before our Father. But we need to learn to trust him and move past that fear. But we're also forgetful, aren't we? We forget that our circumstances are not the best way to understand God's love for us, but instead they help us to know God more, depend upon him more. God's love never fails and never ceases. We forget that the Lord delights in his blood-bought children. I encourage that relative to use Psalm 23 as the form of a prayer. Just pray line by line. And all of a sudden you're praying something new, something fresh, something that will lead you. The Lord is my shepherd. And now my mind isn't so much, though it's still there, on my circumstances. They don't go away. But now my eyes are trained on the Savior. They're trained on the shepherd, and that's what I need sometimes because I forget that He's with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, You are with me. And so I pray that. And I encourage my relative to do that. I'll conclude with this. C.S. Lewis, who many know through his children's books, Chronicles of Narnia, he wrote a number of books, and there's a movie that came out some years ago. It's called Shadowlands. I don't know if anybody saw that. It was directed by Richard Attenborough. It goes back to the 90s, so sorry about that. It tells Lewis's story, focusing in on a particular relationship with his wife, Joy. They met when he was a professor at Oxford, and Joy was diagnosed with cancer. And they married. And the movie invites us to witness their love, their pain, their grief, their struggles with faith and God. And at one point in the story, a friend says to Lewis, "Christopher can scoff, Jack, but I know how hard you've been praying, and now God is answering your prayers." And Lewis replies, "That's not why I pray, Harry. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me." And I know that can feel trite or cliched. And yet I've been praying a lot. And sometimes I grow discouraged when my circumstances don't change or when the answer is seemingly no. I don't always understand what God is doing. But if I believe what Scripture reveals about the Lord's character, then I'm going to increasingly rest in that and not what I can fix, not what I can fathom, not what I can find. And so I want to pray or encourage us to keep praying with that perspective, with that understanding. Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank You for Your word and this time together, and we pray that You would minister to us what we have need of, where we are. Go with us, come behind us, and go ahead of us. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.